Marion Blakey is president and CEO of the AIA and here to talk about that very issue. Ms. Blakey, it's a pleasure to have you on the program again. What is it that you're hearing from your members that indicates that, for all intents and purposes, the deadline got pushed back a couple of weeks or a month and they're already feeling the effects of the sequester?
There's no doubt about it, Francis. I mean, it really is something that is not just looming, but it's on top of us. Pink slips are going out. Programs that would normally be moving ahead in places like Newport News at the shipyards and all are not, because we really are at a point where these kinds of significant, I mean, major budget cuts to defense as well as across the federal budget are already something the companies are having to take action on, you know. You can't wait and see if things happen. It's the law. And one of the things that, you know, I'm so glad people like Tim Kaine are speaking out, because the jobs that are at risk in our region are enormous. In Virginia alone, it's over 200,000 jobs that will be lost under sequestration. For the region, you know, you put it together with the district and with Maryland, it's about 350,000 jobs. Now, just think about that in terms of the increase to the unemployment lines, the unemployment costs in terms of insurance, and then we have the lack of revenue, both taxes as well as folks can't go out and spend if they don't have income. So we're in a world of hurt unless the administration and the Congress can come together on a solution to this.
I'm starting to hear, ma'am, over the last couple of weeks, a little bit of a divergence now in conversation about just the subject of sequestration, not the technical implications of it. But the buzz that I'm hearing now is revolving around the idea of the fact that it's not so much the cuts, it's the nature of the cuts, because people are now working under the assumption that the defense budget and federal budgets overall will shrink for the foreseeable future. Are you starting to see the companies acting as though they're making that discernment, or is it just a matter of the mechanics of sequestration itself that they're working under right now?
Well, I think it's there are two aspects of this. One is that these are massive cuts, and this is on top of cuts to defense that took place under the Budget Control Act, you know, a year ago. Now, that was $487 billion of cuts that you're already having to factor in to your budgets, your plans, your investment, your training, your hiring, or you're having to lay off under this. And there are a lot of layoffs that are related to the cuts that are already baked in, as I say. Then you add on top of that another $500 billion, and we're talking about something that is just really virtually unprecedented. So the size is a big issue. The other thing is that these are across the board mindless. They affect every single aspect of the federal budget. So you're not able to make strategic choices. You're also having to deal with sequestration that was intended to begin over the full fiscal year. And now we're talking about a half a year that the federal agencies are going to have to all of this into about a six-month time period. That is very, very abrupt. There's a lot of breakage when you do that.
Marion Blakey's president and CEO of the Aerospace Industries Association. That actually brings me to the next thing I wanted to ask you about, ma'am, and that is the fact that another kind of buzz that I'm starting to hear a little bit about is that an appropriate fix for this might be either tying it to the beginning of the next fiscal year so that kind of it can all be rolled in together, or Senator Kaine suggested today aligning it with the April 15th requirement for new budget bills. But again, we kind of go back to the same idea there that you just mentioned, where we'd be squeezing these cuts into a small portion of the fiscal year.
Yeah, you know, I think that it certainly makes sense to give our members of Congress and the administration a bit more time to work out a long-term solution. So if there is a postponement with a real commitment to sitting down and negotiating, and negotiations have to involve compromise. Everyone is going to have to move to make something like that work. It can't be all about simply declaring that we've got to, quote, win. You don't win and come up with a long-term viable solution. The issue, of course, in this is that in addition to putting controls on our spending, we've got to look at where the spending is in the long term doing tremendous harm. And everyone knows and acknowledges that it is in the entitlement programs. We've got to make some structural changes there. Now, that doesn't mean that other programs and other parts of the government are not also going to have to be reduced, but you've got to tackle that. And when we talk about a balanced solution, it's a combination of tax reform and entitlement reform. That's at the heart of this. And, you know, we can make some improvements there. There's no question about it. So, you know, we hope that there is going to be a truly serious approach and not just one where folks are lobbying, you know, ideas and in some cases accusations back and forth. That doesn't help anything. We really have to have a serious negotiation to come up with a solution that will work from all of those fundamental issues.
Ms. Blakey, if that solution includes a cut number that stays in the 8-9% range but gives DOD and the branches some reprogramming power, does that help, or does the fact that those cuts would stay at the same level really negate any potential gain that DOD would have from being able to move the money around?
When you compound it with the cuts that have already been put in place, and remember, under the Budget Control Act, defense was singled out. DOD was singled out in a way, you know, that really was something that, you know, was a very hard blow, very hard. And Secretary Panetta noted that. But everyone moved ahead and said, okay, we've got to make these kinds of changes in these programs. We've got to make these kinds of cuts. To say another 8-9% on an annual basis on top of those cuts is fundamentally changing the investments and the resources that we have available to maintain the kind of national security strategy that we have. Now, if we want to have the debate and say, no, we do not have to have the kind of pivot to Asia, the ability still to handle both terrorism, which is something that is highly unpredictable and extremely dangerous, and more conventional fights, such as those that could loom from some very formidable adversaries. And I think, you know, when we look at what's going on with North Korea, when we look at what's going on with Iran, you're talking about something that could involve major assets of the United States government to be able to defend ourselves, to be able to protect us. So those kinds of discussions have to be had, because that is not what the administration has said is necessary. That's not what our secretaries of defense and our military leaders have said over a long period of time. So if we're going to change our posture on that front, and we're going to accept more risk, because that's what it's at the heart of these kinds of cuts, then you're going to have the public, American citizens, really know what the trade-offs are, and they're big.